Shara na 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 Yashoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. Mother Yashoda wanted to bind Krishna, not in order to chastise him, but because she thought that the child was so restless that he might leave the house in fear. That would be another disturbance. Therefore, because of full affection, to stop Krishna from leaving the house, she wanted to bind him with rope. Mother Yashoda wanted to impress upon Krishna that since he was afraid merely to see her stick, he should not perform such disturbing activities as breaking the container of yogurt and butter and distributing its contents to the monkeys. Mother Yashoda did not care to understand who Krishna was and how his power spreads everywhere. This is an example of pure love for Krishna. Thank you.
stories of Mother Jordan's love.
Exemplifying the Brijabasis' mood, that even when they see instances of Krishna's supreme glory and majesty, they don't think that he's God. They don't care to know him as God, because that would simply impede their loving relationships with him. And therefore we see the contrast when Arjuna saw the universal form just before the battle of Kurukshetra. He fell down in great reverence, offering his prayers to Krishna. When Mother Jashoda saw all the universes within Krishna's mouth, it never occurred to her that he's God. She thought it was a spell of some kind of Maya or ghost, or so she took him right to the family priest and said, "Please protect him. Someone has cast a spell over him." And she was very fearful when the priest said, "Don't worry. Just bathe him in cow urine and chant some mantras and songs and he'll be all right." And she did that and was confident that her protection was making and keeping Krishna safe. Srila Prabhupada gave his first Govardhan Puja lecture in 1966, and he began by explaining that in Greek mythology there are many gods for the rain and the wind and the thunder. And actually this is not fictitious, he said. And then he went on to explain that yes, there are demigods who personify the powers that control all these different material phenomena. But when Krishna appears, even those demigods could not understand that he was God. Srila Prabhupada said, other than the five Pandavas and the Brijabasis and a few others, 100-200 at most, nobody could even understand that Krishna was God, which is prerequisite to the Brijabasis' super excellent love for Krishna, which is so sweet and so deep that it covers over his majesty. And they do not know, they don't want to know that he is God. But Indra needed to know, because just after delivering the wives, the yogic Brahmins, who were too addicted to ritualistic sacrifices for personal gain, and Krishna, in his Damodara Leela, shows what he thinks about that kind of sacrifice. When he was feeding money, butter to the monkeys, he was conveying to us that offerings made to Krishna with some selfish aspiration, subtle or gross, it may be karma, it may be jnana, it may be anything, that offering is fit to be fed to the monkeys. Whereas Mother Jashoda's milk would just flow so spontaneously that, as we described before, the milk on the stove made from that Padmaganda grass on Govardhan Hill was thinking it was useless in comparison to Mother Jashoda's milk. So as the milk was giving up its life by boiling over, Mother Yashoda went to rescue it. And Krishna was very disturbed by this. He did not want to be interrupted in drinking Mother Yashoda's milk, which is so flowing so spontaneously and profusely, he did not even have to suck. So he was angry. And he was clinging to Mother Yashoda, but she got up to attend her duties, even though it made him angry. And she told the milk that, "I need you, because I need to make butter and yogurt and ghee and all kinds of sweets to please Krishna. So don't give up your life. I need you. I need your assistance. And I will offer your gifts to Krishna." This is the Vrijabhasi spirit, always encouraging, facilitating, putting others first. This is the kind of bhakti, characteristic and unique to Vraj, which pleases Krishna as a sorrow to such an extent that he freely gives himself completely to the care of his devotees. And he covers their perception with a kind of super consciousness by which they cannot understand he is God. They can only understand he is their darling child, best friend, or paramour lover. So when Krishna returned to Nanda's village after delivering those wives who had pure love for him from the constraints of their husbands who were too addicted to the ritualistic performances, he saw another ritualistic sacrifice underway. And he asked Nanda Maharaj, "What is going on? Why is everybody just running around mechanically in all directions?" And Nanda explained the purpose for performing the Indra Yajna. And then Krishna gave so many arguments. He said, "What is the use of this yajna? Because you say you have to perform this in order to get rain, but where does the rain come from in the monsoon, which makes everybody miserable? Is that what you get from this Indra Yajna? And on the mountaintops and in the oceans, nobody's worshipping Indra, and yet it rains." And then Krishna began to explain varieties of atheistic philosophy, karma mimamsa, sankhya. He said, the demigods, they're not independent. There's no use in flattering them. They are bound to karma just as we are. Therefore, if you perform your duty, the demigods are bound to give the result, whether they're pleased with you or not. Our duty as Vaishyas, which is fourfold, banking, agriculture, lending money, protecting cows, we don't do the first three, we only do cow protection. That is our dharma. And therefore, that will bestow upon us all desired results. Therefore, we should simply worship the cows and those things related to the cows, like Govardhan Hill and the Brahmanas. What Krishna understood, he's asking Nanda Maharaj, "What is this all about?" He'd seen it so many times before. As the super soul, he's the one inspiring them to worship Indra. But he's asking in such a way as to begin his leela of smashing Indra's pride. And why did he use Govardhan Hill specifically? Because Indra shows his might and wields his power and boasts and shows off before his wife by pulverizing mountains. This thunderbolt. And that increases his pride. And being worshipped by the Vrijabhasis increases his pride all the more. So, Krishna could have protected the Vrijavasis in so many ways, but he chose to demonstrate that there's one mountain that Indra cannot smash. That is the mountain of his own pride. And he used Govardhan to fulfill that purpose. Because there's nothing which inhibits loving relationships like pride, based on an overestimation of one's own abilities, and indicates a disregard for the true source of all abilities, which is Krishna. And therefore, feeling and showing pride in one's own ability is really an attempt to usurp the position of Krishna. It's an expression of envy. And it disrupts relationships right from the source, the root of all loving relationships, or as Srila Prabhupada explains, the central pivot of all loving relationships, which is relationship with Krishna. And it affects all of them. Because pride, this overestimation of one's abilities, the tendency to put oneself first, is the perfect antithesis of what cultivates loving relationships, which is putting others first, putting others before oneself, ultimately, and not even seeking anything for oneself. Such is the nature of Govardhan's love and service to Krishna and to all the devotees. And therefore we have in Srimad Bhagavatam, again in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Mahaprabhu Sada Chatak Parvat, in Jagannath Puri, as Govardhan Hill, which it is. Govardhan Hill also expands in Mayapur. But this verse was actually first spoken by Srimati Radharani when, with her friends who were practically imprisoned due to their household duties and social positions, could not go to meet Krishna in the pasturing grounds, surveying the landscape for a sign of their beloved, she devised a strategy, and addressed her friends that like a dwarf trying to cross the vast ocean without even the assistance of any kind of vessel, we are desiring the association of the son of Nanda Maharaj, which will undoubtedly be fruitless without the shelter, mercy, and blessings of great souls. And then Lalita Vishakha became enthused because she was again becoming enlivened at the prospects of attaining Krishna's association through the mercy of great souls who are Haridas. So she asked, who is the best of devotees? So they discussed that there's many great souls who are called Haridas. There's Yudhisthira Maharaj, Bhishma, King Janaka, and others. But the epithet Haridas Varya is reserved for Govardhan Hill alone. So going to the window and waving her hand to indicate her deep regard for Govardhan Hill, who is far off in the distance, way out of sight. But due to her feelings of deep regard, affection, and worship towards him, Govardhan Hill was attracted to come just outside the window to award his darshan to the gopis but more so to have their darshan. Because this is transcendental competition. Each trying to serve and please the other more. And thus, their misfortune is remedied by the blessings of Govardhan Hill, who can award the shelter of Sri Krishna. So Tangavidya, the Sakhi, who is the very personification of Srimati Radharani's perfect Vedic wisdom, cited evidence from scriptures as the Shastric Acharya of spiritual science to support her Sakhi's proposition that Govardhan is Haridasvarya, the best of all devotees, who is the Tilak emblem of Braj. She began her explanation of how he's the best of the devotees by explaining how Govardhan Hill manifests the astva-sattvika bhavas of pure love for Krishna due to the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna and his associates, and the ecstasy of being able to offer Vaishnava seva. Thus, of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh, my friends, Srimati said, this hill provides Krishna and Balaram, as well as all their cows, calves, and cowherd friends, with all their necessities. Very sweet, fragrant, flavorful beverages and water for drinking. Very soft grass. Caves for shelter and amusement. Fruits for snacks. Flowers for decorations. And vegetables for meals. In this way, Govardhan Hill ecstatically offers his respects and service to the Lord. Being blessed by the lotus feet of Sri Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Then they asked Chitra to explain, how is it that Govardhan Hill manifests the ecstasy of his hair standing on end? And Chitra, being amongst the Sakis, the expert in animal care and botany, explained the perspective of Mother Nature, that Govardhan Hill, his hair is the grass which stands up like hair on a devotee in ecstasy, and that grass is so fragrant and soft and flavorful and nutritious that it not only makes Krishna's cows very healthy and happy and energetic and playful, but even the sun god diverts his chariot from his normal course to graze his horses on Govardhan Hill. And then when the word gets back to the heavenly planets, that grass becomes legendary, and all the celestial steeds desire and make arrangements to come there and graze. And that's durva grass, which has many functions. It is used to perform sacrifice, to receive guests. It's the most exalted fodder for the cows, and makes milk of unprecedented flavor, which flows spontaneously from their udders, which nourishes and inundates the whole land of Braj with their milk, which combined with the sunshine makes the cows very jubilant. Thus Ramansha, his hair is standing on end and in ecstasy. And tears, that is the myriad bodies of lakes and rivers and waterfalls and springs which come cascading down, and the rocks on Govardhan are tinged with different hues: red because of his anubhava, gold because of the touch of Srimati Radharani's feet, black because of Krishna's feet, crystal because of Balaram's feet. And the water takes on these different hues, and it takes on the different fragrances and flavors of different different fruit trees, like mango and jackfruit, and offers beverages, which just makes the gopas intoxicated so that all they can do is roll around and dance and sing and play games. And Krishna likes to lead his cows into those lakes, just like Balabhadra Prabhu's sweatshirt that has the utterly cool emblem with the cows standing in the water. And those cascading waterfalls produce the sound of kirtan. And when the water element mixes with the fire element due to excessive love, fire of devotion in the heart of Govardhan, it forms pearl drops of perspiration in the form of the morning dew. And that a fire element from the devotion raging in his heart even makes his stones melt. But they don't become hot. These stones become soft to caress the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram and all the devotees. And the thorns become flowers. And the sticks become flower petals. And everything becomes soft. And the gopis asked Chitra, is this the typical sentiments of a Mataji that you're seeing things in this way? Or is there some objective evidence to prove your point? And she said, there is. Because Krishna's footprints are enshrined in these stones which melt upon the ecstasy of being touched by Krishna's lotus feet. But Govardhan Hill is not a selfish spiritualist. He is completely selfless. And he offers all his unlimited facilities to facilitate the Leela of Krishna and offer invitation to all souls in creation to join in Krishna's Leela by inspiring poets and philosophers to broadcast the nectar of Braj Bhakti, which lures all souls to that land of eternal joy. And the only thing that Govardhan Hill requests in return for his unlimited service is the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram and all their cows and devotees, which he preserves in his stone, and offers us the opportunity to follow in the footsteps of great souls such as all the Brijabasis who Krishna instructed to circumambulate Govardhan Hill, followed by Madhavendra Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Goswamis, such is his offering to posterity. So then, Rati Manjari, the very form of attachment to Srimati, began to explain that the blessings of Govardhan Hill begins with seeking the favor and pleasure of Haridev, the presiding deity. He was not different from Gopalnathji, the same form and features at Manasaganga. And then she explained from Manasaganga how onto Anior, where that massive form of Govardhan was reaching out and drinking all the kuns filled with sweet rice and nectar in the mountain of grains. He was eating everything, just devouring all until there was nothing left to offer. And he kept calling out, Anior, Anior, give me more, give me... There's nothing left to offer. And one of the Brahmins said that Krishna is satisfied by merely one tulsi leaf, which they offered and made him pacified. And she repeated the instructions that she had heard Krishna give Nanda Maharaj. And the gopis, hearing her narration and following it with love, recreated the whole Leela with all its benefits within their hearts. And although they were separated from Krishna, even Govardhan Hill by a long distance, they entered deep into the wonders of that Leela, which is a benediction which the observation of such holy days carries. The same merits of the original day can be achieved by hearing and following the Leelas and absorbing our minds and hearts in their significance. So, the worship of Indra, which had been going on for generations, and Krishna asks, is this some social custom? Is it parampara? Is it superstition? Do you actually get any tangible benefits from this? And Nanda was trying to defend, but Krishna was speaking all these atheistic doctrines. And Srila Prabhupada said in that initial lecture in 1966 that it wasn't that Krishna's argument was especially convincing. The Brijavasis have so much love for Krishna, even if he's preaching atheistic philosophy, which he was, they'll follow it. Indra Puja represents the principle of the utilitarian principle. Following the activities that leads to the utmost benefit for society. But Krishna wanted to establish that there's a higher principle, spiritual love, which may at times contradict the utilitarian principle and may even offer serious ramifications to the extent of the destruction of the whole universe, which was imminent due to Indra's wrath. But Krishna wanted to assure all of us that he ever protects his devotees. So, when Indra summoned the Sarvartika clouds, which are reserved in one corner of the Mahatattva for the specific sole purpose of destroying the universe at the time of the apocalypse, were released early because he was so infuriated that this talkative coward boy has bewildered the intelligence of those Brijavasis, who have no more intelligence than the animals they tend, and I must teach them a lesson. So, from the eastern horizon, it became black. Black clouds started circling overhead. Some began racing very menacingly at low altitude across the landscape. Cold, bitter winds began to blow, and huge pillars of ice and water began to fall. And the Brijavasis all cried out, "O Krishna, protect your cows. And if you like, you can save us too." Same principle. Putting others first. It attracts Krishna and pleases Krishna. And he just casually lifted the hill, and the Brijavasis saw that beneath the hill was the most beautiful, vast, pastoral landscape, covered with hills of fresh green barley grass and a beautiful little makeshift village they'd never seen before, filled with every conceivable type of pleasure and kuns filled with nectar, and they happily went under. And the 7 days and 7 nights they never experienced any hunger or thirst or desire to sleep. And every one of the unlimited Vrijabhasis and cows saw that Krishna was looking directly at them and enjoying pastimes specifically with them. And as the storm waged outside, there was another kind of storm under. That was the storm of the various emotions which were raised to the highest pitch by the ecstasy of not having to go home for 7 days, but staying. Everybody got to stay and pray with Krishna, and nobody had to observe any social etiquette. The gopis didn't have to watch what they said because Krishna was performing such wonders before everybody's eyes that nobody could help but glorify him more and more. Mother Jashoda was very upset. He must be tired from holding that hill. But Mother Mangal said, he's not. It's my Brahma Tejas, which is empowering him to appear to be holding the hill. But it's really me, Mother Jashoda. And she said, Bhattu. Bhattu is another name for Mother Mangal. This is no time for jokes. I don't believe what you're saying. If Govardhan Hill would fly in the sky, I would believe what you're saying, but he's obviously resting on Krishna's finger. He said, but that's the way my Brahma Tejas has arranged it, to give Krishna all the credit. And Madhu Mangal said, Krishna's not, look at his face. There's no sign of straining or struggling or work. He's relishing the whole incident, and he's about to play his flute. And then the gopa said, no, Krishna, don't play your flute, because we know when you play your flute, then stones melt. And if this mountain melts over top of our heads, what is our fate to be? So Krishna, please don't play your flute. And now for 1 week, which was like just 7 moments of intense joy for the Vrijabhasis, was like 7 millenniums of deep anguish with a migraine headache for Indra. And he was sending all his armies and asking for reports from the spies. And first they came back and said, it's a total wipeout. There's not a trace of any survivors. But he wasn't really confident. Something was uneasy in his heart. Go check again. There's nobody left. Everything is destroyed. Well, go check again. The third party of spies came back and said, we didn't see it before. We looked more closely. They're having a party. And then Indra saw over the hills of his celestial gardens, the peak of Govardhan rose up above the heavenly planets. And then he realized that he was in trouble. So then as Lalita and Vishaka were speaking, one of them asked a question. What happened at the end of the 7th day when you went out to look out from under the hill and you saw Indra leading his legions in full battle regalia, and then he just stopped, and after a short time he retreated? What was going on? And she explained that Indra had calculated his superiority, and his calculation of strength in his mind guaranteed victory. And when he led the rest of his armies, since the previous attempts had failed, and he raised his thunderbolt to hurl it, just as he always does, to pulverize mountains, he became overpowered by some invisible force which made him impotent and paralyzed, and he was suspended in the air like a toy. And the Vrijabhasis were laughing at him. And his pride was completely shattered. And when that invisible force released its restraints, he retreated in complete embarrassment. And then they began to discuss the appearance of Govardhan Hill, for which there's many versions. How he, from different dimensions and perspectives and rasas, enters into the realm of the eternal present. And they explain how one time in the Rasa Mandala, after Rasa Lila, which is like the central locket in the jewels of the treasure chest in Braj. And during that Rasa Lila, for accompaniment, the birds were singing, and the trees were swaying, and the flowers blossoming, and the honey flowing. And after Rasa Lila, Srimati asked Krishna that if you are pleased with my love and the love of all my friends and your love for them and this dance of love in this abode of love, then I have a desire to be fulfilled. And Krishna said, I'm your eternal servant. Whatever I can do for your pleasure, just ask. And she requested you create a place of unprecedented, incomparable leelas on the shore of Yamuna in the forest of Vrindavan. And Krishna searched the depths of his fathomless heart to find the essence of his bhava, which is the source of pleasure for himself and all jivas as well. And he discovered a mystical seed of bliss, which emerged from his heart and descended to the ground and grew into a little knoll, expanded into a hill, and rose into a mountain that was hundreds of miles high. And it was complete with enchanting, effulgent caverns containing all kinds of rooms and rivers and pastoral delights and arrangements for the gopas and the gopis to decorate themselves in all kinds of ways for all kinds of occasions. And the slopes were covered with kalpa vrikshas, and the gopis glorified the flowering vines before the trees because they were emphasizing that Matajis are more inclined to offer their affection, that's the vines, than a man, which is the trees. So they praised them in that order. And creatures and birds fashioned out of bhakti, filled with bhakti, and completely relishing the nectar of devotion. Srimati took her friends exploring all these slopes and caverns and kunds filled with varieties of nectar and tasting different kinds of rasa, and they became so intoxicated. And thus Krishna fulfilled his promise to Brahma and awarded assurance to Radha and fulfilled his own aspiration. And then they explained, from another perspective, the appearance of Govardhan as the son of Drona, the king of, he was the king of mountains, and Palasti Muni, visiting Govardhan, wanted him for his ashram. And Govardhan agreed on the condition that wherever you place me now, that's where I stay. So traveling through the sky by his mystic power, carrying Govardhan over Braj, inspired by the super soul, Palasti Muni, although a great mystic, he had to answer the call of nature urgently. So he came down and placed the mountain beside him. When he was done, he tried to lift it and it wouldn't come. He reminded him of his promise. That was Braj, where he couldn't leave. And the gopis explained, and then Palasti Muni cursed him, you'll shrink every day. And when he's completely gone, and becomes only open plain, then the master of Kali Yuga again asserts his complete dominance. And then the gopis were very fearful to think of that day. And desiring to understand more fully the unlimited nature of Govardhan's protection, Tungavidya, narrated an ancient history of the Brahmin Vijaya, who had come to Mathura for some ancestral duties, after which he went to Braj and visited the holy places and bathed in the kuns and circumambulated Govardhan. And by chance he picked up one Govardhan Shila. And just when he stepped out of Braj Mandala, he was attacked by this ferocious Rakshasa monster with three heads, six arms and six legs, very long curved fangs, angry red eyes, and a sharp tongue with which he was licking at his lips, looking at Vijaya like, "I am starved." And he attacked to eat him. There's this humble, gentle sadhu being attacked by this monster. He had nothing to protect himself except the Govardhan Shila. So he threw it at the monster. It whonged in his head. He fell down dead. And a beautiful boy, effulgent, gentle, with lotus eyes and garland decorations, emerged from this hideous monster, bowed down before Vijaya, and with tears in his eyes, with great humility and gratitude, said, "Thank you. You have delivered me." Vijaya said, "I don't have any ability to deliver anybody. It must have been that stone." And he said, "Yes, that stone from Govardhan, who is the very form of Krishna, the king of all mountains, and who awards benedictions superior to performing 10 million yajnas or going on 10 million pilgrimages to all the holy places. It's all surpassed by merely bathing in the kuns of Govardhan or seeing or remembering Govardhan. And by bathing in Govinda Kund, you can attain a form filled with loving devotion and beautiful, similar to Krishna himself, and I am the living embodiment and proof of that." And then Vijaya asks, "Well, you know, we haven't been introduced. Who are you?" And he said, "Well, am I, you know, going back thousands of lives, I was kind of like a regular person, but then I contracted affluenza. And that made me arrogant and proud and addicted to all kinds of sinful activities. My parents were always trying to correct me, and in rage I killed them both. I had a good wife who supported me. I murdered her as well and went south with a prostitute. Finally, I killed her as well. And I just went out hunting, just obsessed with killing. And I was killed by a serpent. And the Yamadutas couldn't wait to torture me endlessly in hell for all my misdeeds. And finally I became, you know, different animals. After so many thousands of births as animals to be killed, I took birth in the desert as this Rakshasa, demon, monster. And I went to Braj, but the devotees wouldn't let me in. So I was just roaming around the outskirts, and when I saw you, I was so hungry, I just wanted to eat you. But you delivered me by the touch of that Govardhan Shila." Then he heard Vedic hymns resounding from the sky, and he looked up, and it was a chariot coming down from Golok. He landed beside the boy and took him home. And Vijaya turned around, went right back to Govardhan Hill, and performed parikrama with great devotion and faith and love, bathing in all the kuns. And then Tulsi Manjari began her narrations of the glories of Govardhan, the glories of the she-jackal at Shivakori, who jackals, the outcast amongst animals, but attained on Govardhan the eternal shelter of Shrimati's service. And so many leelas. It was as if time in himself stopped and stood still, because he did not want to miss a beat. He didn't want to miss... And it was just like the Sharad Purnim evening of Rasa Leela, which due to the devotee's intense yearning to please Krishna, one night expanded by Krishna's yoga maya into a night of Brahma lasting billions and billions of years, so as Tulsi Manjari took the devotees into the infinite leelas of Govardhan's glories. Time stood still, and the day passed as if an instant. And the narration was continued by Raghunath Das Goswami in Chaitanya Leela. After Chaitanya Leela, may the sight of Srimati's Kilat Kinchitabhava, which is like a bouquet, bring good fortune to all. And then she explained, he and he, as Raghunath Das Goswami, she is Tulsi Manjari previously, the Dhanakeli Leela. Krishna is the tax collector, demanding, I must tax you for your youth and beauty and goods as you go to the sacrifice. I said, who are you? On whose authority can you proclaim yourself tax collector? And then Krishna broke the butter pots. And they said, now this ghee cannot be used in the sacrifice, and they're chastising Krishna. And Govardhan Hill, on the banks of Radhakund, which along with Shamakund are the eyes of the peacock of Govardhan Hill, where the immortal message was given, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati toward the end of his leela to Srila Prabhupada, there will be fire. Meaning, be fire of selfish aspiration and ambition. Politics, there will be fire in the mouth. It will spread and destroy. If you ever get money, print books. Srila Prabhupada took that instruction to heart. That instruction came from Govardhan, from where it has expanded the glories of Govardhan throughout the world. Who in the Judeo-Christian countries where we have as the first commandments place no other God before me and you must not worship any graven images, who would worship a hill if it was not for Srila Prabhupada having so much love that just as Krishna bewildered the Vrijavasis by his atheistic doctrine to give up their faith and practice of the utilitarian principle for the upliftment and safety and well-being of society in favor of worshiping this mountain which would invoke the wrath of Indra, which plunged the whole universe into blinding darkness except for the region under Govardhan Hill, which was bathed in the golden fountains from the moonlight tones. This is beyond logic and reason. No philosophy can explain the merits of worshipping this hill. But this hill, emanating from the depths of Krishna's fathomless bhava, in the very essence of his love, expands his love upon all those who take shelter of him. And Srila Prabhupada had faith in Krishna's words. And by following his instructions, we will awaken that love within our own hearts. And that love transport us back to the land of our longings, Goloka Vrindavan. Thank you very much. stop exactly on time, there will be no excuse for continuing to speak. So, I'm trying. Thank you very much. Shri Giri Govardhana Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada.